Hallelujah. We love you more than any other, Lord. You are the most important thing in our life, Lord. We place you, by an act of our will this morning, Lord, we place you at the highest place. We'll trust no one like you. We trust you, Lord. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the one who began a good work and are completing that work every day of our life. We thank you, Lord, that you're in control, and we yield to you this morning. We yield to your Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Again, we ask you, bring our Father's will into this house. Let God's will be done in this house and in every life that's here this morning, in Jesus' name. Let us have ears to hear, eyes to see in the Spirit, Lord. Lord, this morning we want to be free from the carnality of this of our natures and the world. We want to walk in the Spirit in Jesus' name today. Teach us what that is. Teach us how to do that this morning, Lord. For that, we give you praise and thanks and glory. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for every person here. Thank you for your blessings that rest upon them. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You agree with that? Say amen. Hallelujah. Are we ready to give God His tithes and our offerings this morning? Praise the Lord. I like the enthusiastic. Somebody over there said amen. Excited about it. I just want to say that, I mean, God's been dealing with me all week. There was a circumstance that happened during the week. Somebody from this fellowship who doesn't come very often, I mean, the enemy was absolutely beating this individual up, beating her up. I tried to share with her the whole time praying, God, Father, I don't know what to say to this individual. I don't know what to say. I need your wisdom. I need your insight. I pray she's here this morning. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, fear, condemnation, and torment are not your friend. They are your enemy. They're the enemy of your soul, and they come from the enemy of your soul. You need to cast down vain imaginations. Amen? Take captive those thoughts that don't line up with the Word of God. And how you do that is you learn to walk in the Spirit, not in the carnal or the sensual or fleshly nature. We're going to talk about that this morning. I'm excited about the message. I think this is one of the best messages God's given me ever, maybe, but especially in a while. And that's just my opinion. If you listen, you'll be able to see yourself get set free and leave here different than when you came in. It's up to you. God will do His part. We need to do our part. Amen? You believe that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One of the ways God has set forth to be blessing, to bless us, is by tithes and offerings. Amen? And so that's why we do it. And it's not because of law. I heard somebody say that recently. It's not because of law, it's because of love. Because we love Him. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we rejoice to be in your house before Amen. You this morning to worship and praise you. And to thank you for everything that you and your Son Jesus have done for us. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can receive what you have for us today. We ask you to bless each and every person that's here, and we ask you to bless and multiply the offering that we're about to receive Yes. today. We ask Yes. you to be with us through the coming week. We thank you for the blessings that you've automatically bestowed upon us, Heavenly Father. And you even pour out blessings on those that don't even believe in you.
Yes.
Heavenly Father. And that's how good you are, Lord.
Yes, yes, amen.
And we just rejoice at that. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Gene, thank you. How many think that's really cool when somebody just sits down and lets God do what God wants to do through them? Amen. It's by the Spirit. You know, before I go any further, I'm going to embarrass Brian this morning. I want him to come and give a testimony. I don't think it's going to embarrass him, but I know it's going to bless you. You know, God's interested in even the small details of our life. But sometimes small things can turn into big things if they're not handled right away.
Hi, everybody. Yesterday I was doing laundry, and I came upstairs, opened up my apartment door, and heard a roaring waterfall. And I'm like standing there looking around like, where's the water coming from? And I went into my bathroom, and from my roof, there's a stream of water just gushing down. My bathtub, there's like this much water from the top of the tub, and it's about ready to overflow. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, what do I do? What do I do? And the first thing is stop the plug in the tub. So I wipe, you know, washed away that. I got the same type of tile in my bathroom like this right here. And so I cleared the tub, and then I thought, well, I better go upstairs and tell her not to use her tub because there's a quarter-size hole in the elbow joint of the pipe. So I went up there, and she's like looking at me like, oh, my God, who is this guy? And I'm like, can you please not use your tub? And she just looks at me like, well, I just got out of the shower. And I said, yeah, I know that. And she kind of looks at me like, you know, like I was kind of like freaking out, because I was kind of freaking out. Then I went downstairs. I called the emergency line. And to make this story short and simple, it's just amazing how God can do little things in your life. And let me tell you, after all the whole experience, my whole apartment could have been destroyed, gutted, but because I was home yesterday and I kept my cool, everything turned out very well, and only for the grace of God. I just wanted to say that.
The Bible says a righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. So it was no accident or no happenstance that he happened to walk in right at the right time. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we bless the Lord with you. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
In Brian's behalf, amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, once again, we sit here. We're here to listen, to receive from you. We proclaim we are your people. We proclaim this is your time. And Lord, we give honor to you and to your word this morning. Lord, I pray again, and I thank you, Lord, that people have ears to hear what the Spirit says to them, Lord. And Lord, eyes to see their spiritual insight, Lord, to receive from you this morning. Lord, I ask you to do this in spite of me. I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit, minister through me. Touch your people today. Let this be a day of new beginnings and change in our lives, every life, Lord, starting right here. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready? A few years back, a fad started in the Christian community, and you began to see WWJD everywhere. What would Jesus do? And you know, I don't think that really brought about the full impact in our lives and in the church's life of exactly what that means and exactly what we're saying when we say, what would Jesus do? There are situations and circumstances and incidents in our life every day where we have the opportunity to either walk in the Spirit, seek God for His counsel, or do things from our own understanding, our own sensual nature, our carnal nature. It's comfortable to us, so we just do it. We don't ask God, even about the very minor details. As Brian's just shared with us, God's interested in the very minor details of our life. The big things and the little things. Amen? Amen. And through a circumstance that happened this week, I got a phone call from somebody that, if I said the name, you'd all know who it was. This individual really needs your prayers. The enemy is absolutely beating this individual up. Fear, torment, guilt, condemnation. And this individual is convinced that they're about to be incarcerated. They're already incarcerated in the devil's, you know, in the devil's prison. Totally rejecting or forgetting, or through their forgetting, rejecting, let's put it that way, does that make sense? What God is, who God is, and what God's done, and what God wants to do in their life. So much so that when they spoke to me, they were babbling. They were saying things. They were never getting to the point, never coming to the... and saying things like, well, I need to tell this person and that person, I just need to... No, you don't. You don't need to... Listen, your family cannot take you to heaven, and they can't take you to hell unless you let them. The answer is not in your family. So you've messed up. So you've messed up, and so now things are a mess, and you're embarrassed by what you've done. You're embarrassed by what the enemy's trying to put on you, and you're embarrassed because you know you've hurt, or you may hurt your family, your children, or family. It's all the same. It's all relevant. I related another circumstance to this individual by somebody else here who had a situation where there was a little torment, a little fear. They knew they had done something that wasn't right, and they knew they had done it willfully. But they went to God and repented. And not one word was said about it to this day. And it's been months ago now. That's the grace and mercy of God. Amen? And that's what we walk in. But there's more to it than that. One thing you need to understand, we all need to understand, is the fact that we have an opportunity to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? I'm going to try, by the help of the Holy Spirit this morning, with His help, to share that with you and to show you what the difference is between walking in the Spirit and walking in sensual, carnal, in the carnal nature. If you want to turn with me, or if you just want to take notes, whatever you want to do, it's okay. I want you to, we're going to look in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. Let's look at verse 5 in Romans chapter 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, listen carefully now, is life and peace. When we're in a circumstance or something has just happened, we have the opportunity right then and there to either go off in our sensual, carnal nature. Carnality is just being sensual, living off of your flesh and off of your feelings, which is the sensual nature of man. It's the carnal nature. It's man without the Spirit of God trying to live and exist. And some Christians do that. Instead of giving God glory and turning to God, they turn to other sources for their blessing, for their hope, and for a good outcome. Did you hear what I said? Your Bible says, God tells us, choose this day who you're going to serve. And I'm going to simplify it, paraphrase it, and say, choose either flesh or spirit. Choose either God or your own abilities. Or some other person's abilities. Are you with me? Let's go on. Verse 7 says, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. Do you know what that word enmity means? It's a positive, active, and typically mutual hatred or ill will. And hostility encompasses, enmity encompasses hostility, antipathy, antagonism, animosity, and rancor. Are you with me? The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. What do you think that means? It means they never come together. But one will subjugate the other in our life. Amen? One will subjugate the other. The Bible says, to whom you give yourself servants to obey, His servants you are. Whether it's God or flesh. You want to go around singing and bragging about what God did, or you want to go around singing and bragging, I did it my way. Amen. Verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Pretty straightforward. But listen what he says about you who are redeemed. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. One thing that I came to realize by studying this and looking into this, meditating on this, there's two different things that we look at that I think we've lumped all together. There's the Spirit being in you, which is the conscience and the things that God, how God directs you. But then there's also the infilling of the Spirit, which has to do with spiritual gifts and anointings. The Spirit of God's in you. When you get born again, that's what brought you to salvation. Your conscience, your life, that was the barometer or the compass or the benchmark that brought you to salvation. But then comes the infilling of the Spirit, which enhances your conscience, shows you the way and shows you the truth and guides you into all truth and teaches you what you're supposed to do. Amen? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and then follow me. Now, taking up your cross doesn't mean you're going to the cross. It means you're going to, with everything within you, if I can just be just a little bit direct here, I'm going to say you're hell-bent that you're going to do it God's way and no other way. Because no other way is going to get you through. You may have a temporary fix, but you have not taken care of the situation. When God is allowed to take care of it, it's taken care of. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen? Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. It's by the Spirit of Christ in you that you got born again. It's by the Spirit of Christ that you have a desire to do the right things. It's by the Spirit of God that comes in that you want to live a righteous life. But by the infilling of the Spirit, that's where the power comes from, that you are able to walk it out, not by your ability or in your flesh, but in God. And at that point, you make a decision, whether you realize it or not, I'm going to do it God's way, or I'm still going to hang on to the ways that I do things, because I'm comfortable there. Oh, and too many of us get really comfortable where we're at. Amen. We're too comfortable where we're at. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not His. Which means you're not born again yet. So you're not just not born again yet. That's all. Verse 10 says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. When you became born again, the Spirit of life came in you, and that also came the righteousness of God, which is in Jesus. Jesus is the righteousness of God. It's not your righteousness, it's His righteousness. Amen? But if the Spirit of Him, in verse 11, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ, the Anointed One, is what the Christ means, from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit. Through what? His Spirit. Who, what, where is, where, where's the Spirit? He dwells in you. Amen? That should be the driving and motivating factor in everything that happens in our life. WWJD, what would Jesus do? I don't care what the circumstance is. Do we run to God first, or do we run someplace else for an answer? Do we seek God's wisdom, or do we seek our own and man's wisdom? Well, that's the way it should be, Brian. Unfortunately, that's not the case sometimes. And we're all guilty. Everyone. Carnal, or carnally, means related to, the definition is relating to, or given to crude, bodily pleasures. Flesh, carnality. And appetites. It's usually marked by sexuality, or bodily desires, or corporeal. And that word corporeal means having or consisting of or relating to a physical material body as not spiritual, not immaterial or intangible or substantial. Did y'all get that? Do I need to repeat that? Does that make sense to you? And then we already told you what enmity was. If you walk in the flesh, yes, sir, it has to do with every part of our life. No. If I think I know what you're asking. And when,
I wanted to say it, but I don't want to say it.
Well, but the point is, the thing you need to understand is God has given things to us as men in our relationships with our spouses that are private things. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Are you hanging on to your seats? That's the same kind of intimacy that God wants with us. I don't know how to equate the two together. All I know is the same intimacy that you have with your spouse is the same intimacy that God wants with you. He wants to not only know you, He wants to know what's inside of you, and which He knows anyway, but He wants to be a part of that. He wants to be considered in everything that's done. Are you living for Him or are you living for you? Is it what you can get out of it or what you can give to the kingdom and the Spirit of God? What do you mean, give to the Spirit of God? Meaning giving Him first place, giving Him your all, letting Him be your guide, or you just run around doing things because you've done it that way all your life and that's the way it is? This is not a condemning message. This is a message of freedom. And hopefully a message that will teach you to listen and to walk in the Spirit, not in your sensuality or in your frame of mind. Okay? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Hello, walk in the Spirit. And there's a consequence if you do that. And you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Your flesh has desires. But when you become born again, what needs to happen and what should be happening, if God's moving in you, and I know He is, whether you're listening or not, is another story. Because God's always on the move, amen? Do you believe that? The Bible says again, I'll remind you, it says the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Both are striving for dominancy. Like Paul said, you need to keep under your body. What does that mean? Does that mean I need to live under? No. That means you need to take control of your body and make it subject to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen? Only to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Say amen. In fact, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. If you want to, or if you're just taking notes, you can just follow along. I want to read the whole thing. In verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? What does that mean? Bill, what are you saying? What is the Word saying? How do you think you walk in the Spirit? By seeking God? By seeking His answer? Trusting the Holy Spirit to be your guide, to teach you? Amen? To teach you and to lead you? Amen? Let's read this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen now. I just basically said it in my own words, but now the Word of God is going to show you what I was telling you. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So that you do not. Did you hear that? So that you do not. Who does not? You do not do the things that you wish. What has to happen here is you have to come from a place of comfort with what is existing in your life to a place of comfort with the overseeing and the intervention of the Spirit of God in your life and letting that become predominant in your life. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Let me turn the page here. In my Bible, I've got a side-by-side, and I don't want to use the Amplified at this moment. Let's go on to verse 18. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, listen carefully, we've been talking about the law, you are not under the law. There's no requirements. There's no filling the law or observing the law of man. Now listen, in verse 19, we're going to show what the works of the flesh are. In verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. In other words, they're very, They're very clear. And they are adultery, fornication, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? If I mess up, I'm done for? No. That means that when you make a mistake, you repent like God says. You're quick to repent and to turn from your sin. Confess and forsake it. And when you do, what happens? The Spirit of God reminds you again that what those things are, those are all things under the law of man. But if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill those things. Are you catching my drift? Those are things under the law of man. The law that convicts you. That's one of the issues this individual had that called me this week. 2 days in a row. Convinced that the end was coming for them. By the end, I don't mean death, but I mean, you know, punishment and all kinds of things. I can't tell you that I have a definition right offhand for that. I'll get it for you. You can look it up in the dictionary. But this person was convinced, which means the Spirit of God was not there. There was no comfort there. And what is one of the things that designate or personify the Holy Spirit? What is He called? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Donna. He's the comforter. When you're out of your mind with hysteria, thinking the whole world's coming to get you, the whole world's against you, and yet you still stand there and you say, but it's my fault, I did this and I did that. Now what? Let any of you who's without sin in this place cast the first stone. Well, doesn't she know? Well, yeah, she knows. But right now, she's overwhelmed by the guilt, the condemnation, and the lies the enemy is telling them. It was very difficult to reason with this individual. And I asked both times when I talked to her. In fact, I talked to her 2 times one day and 1 time the next day. And I said, now what? What are we going to do now? What does the Bible say? I told this individual, you need to confess what the Word of God says. Stop looking at what's not real. Look at what's real, what's tangible. What's tangible is what God says. How many know that it is tangible? Are you with me? Is it tangible or is it not? I got one amen. It's tangible. Brian just found out how tangible it is. We're landing verse 121. Those who practice such things as we just read, the works of the flesh, which is the sensual carnal nature of man, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in verse 22, we see some really good news. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. You want to know if the Spirit's in your life? Then you look at this and you'll understand if the Spirit's in you, these are the traits you're going to operate in. What are those traits? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the Bible says, against us there is no law. How do you walk in that? Because God's already done it. And when you're walking in those things, what happens? You're not under the law of man anymore. You're in the perfect law of liberty. Because the Spirit of God is motivating everything you do. All right, are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the Spirit of God that motivates you in those things. You don't have to be told what you're not supposed to do. You know already what you're supposed to do, and you walk in it because of the Spirit of God in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. I hope some of you are getting excited because this, I'm telling you. Verse 24, it says, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You want to know if you're in the Spirit? You want to know if you're in the flesh or the Spirit? Are your desires crucified, or are they sticking their ugly heads up? Is it sticking its ugly head up saying, you know, I really want this. God said no good thing that He would hold from you. I've told you before. There's things that I've said. When I got my Taurus, my Ford Taurus, many of you remember that old car? It was a good car. But one day I just said, because of the company that I worked for, their salesman had, they had fleet lease a fleet of those Tauruses, and I liked it. I got to drive them, and I also got to ride in them. And I said, you know, someday I'd really like to have a Ford Taurus. And I never gave it a second thought. One day I'm in need of a car. My daughter and I go out and start looking, and I come home with a Ford Taurus. Amen. Because of the goodness of God. I didn't go out looking for it. I didn't go out, you know, trying to find out where I can do it. See, this is one of the problems. We try to self-fulfill the Word of God and the things that God promises in our life. Did you hear what I said? You and I try to self-fulfill those things. But God knows. How many times did I tell you, there's a new car sitting out there? Is there a new car sitting out there? And who was the one behind that? Who gave the ability? Who opened the door? And who brought the right vehicle? Amen. Can't get any more simple than that. God did. He gets all the credit and all the glory. He wants to bless you. But what we do is we get excited, we start doing things. You know, it's just like a person who's called by God. I don't mean to be redundant. I know you've heard me say this a million times. But just like a person who's called by God. You didn't miss the calling, but you don't have to try to work it out yourself. God will work it out. The Bible says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. What does God say about the gifts and calling? He said, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What that means is they're irrevocable. They're unchangeable. He never changes His mind. And He never tries to withdraw them when once they're given. Amen? Let God work that gift in you. And I want to tell you something. Some of the things that you deem negative in your life are things and traits that God put there, but they need to be controlled by the Spirit, not by your impulses. Are you with me? Is anybody getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. It means I'm not living that way anymore. If I don't hear God give me direction, then I'm not going to move. Even though there's a lot of passion and lust involved. Or desires. Desires, lust, it's all the same thing. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And what that means is how you do that is you look to God in everything you do every day. Get up in the morning, say, God, it's your day. What do you expect? Where are we going today? What are we going to do today? Where are you taking me today? But we get up with an agenda and, well, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do this and I got to do that. And we haven't even asked God. We just go out and run. And then all of a sudden we run into a bump in the road. And, oh, what happened? I don't understand. Was God invited? You know, somebody said in this church one time, they said, you know what? God showed them. When they have dinner, God spoke to them and said, when did you ever invite me to sit down with you? Hello? Now that's kind of an eye-opener, isn't it? Let me say something to you. Listen carefully, please, because this is important. Revelation to an individual does not mean law for everybody else. Oh, did you hear me? It's not law for everybody else. You are accountable in your life for what God tells you and nothing else. It's what you know, not what you don't know. Because God tells you give up cigarettes and you give them up, doesn't mean you have a right to go around telling men you ought to give those up. Well, yeah, they should, but that's not your business. We're not the Holy Spirit. Hello? God will deal with those things in His time, in His way. And you know what? When He does, there won't be any condemnation or guilt on the individual you're talking to. It'll be freedom and it'll be life because God will have done it. And they'll be able to give Him credit so that you stop preaching. And one of the things we dare not do is stop preaching and go to meddling. Did you hear me? I hate when that happens. When people stop preaching and start going to them, they go to meddling. You're supposed to be obedient to the Spirit, not man. Amen? How many believe the Spirit of God is qualified to lead you and to guide you and to keep you? Amen? Hallelujah! Gee, I love that kind of talk. Woo-hoo! Verse 26, I'll just throw this in for free. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen to this. Humans always think that they can fix everything. We rush in, man, right away. Somebody's hurting, and we rush in. We're just going to comfort that person and everything. And there's nothing wrong with that if God said to do it. And you listen to what He tells you to tell them, not what you think you should tell them. I don't remember if I said this when I was telling the story about this individual that called me. But one of the things I did is I was sitting there, I said, God, this person is desperate. They're desperate. I need Your help. I need Your intervention. I need Your wisdom. I don't know what to say to this person. I personally don't have an answer except to say, You're the answer. And You have and are the answer both. Do you hear what I'm saying? And as I talked to this individual over 2 days, I began to see and feel the peace of God come because the Word of God was starting to override the raging carnal mind that this individual was operating in. You hear me? How many know what I'm talking about when I say raging? Just like a river rages. And all of a sudden the river came out of the rapids and started just calm and peaceful rolling, just moving on. And you could see the change. You could feel and hear the change in this individual's life. We think we can fix everything by our own wisdom and knowledge. But all we can really do is screw things up. Say amen. Without the Spirit of God and His wisdom, that's exactly what we do, is we screw it up. We mean well. We're sincere. We're just at that moment sincerely wrong because we're not operating by the Spirit of God. We're operating by our own lusts and enticed. Now, I trust through this that the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, each one of you, in the area where this needs to apply the most. And then we'll carry it from there. Amen. It's a seed. We're planting a seed today. Amen. Reminding you of what the Word says. And I trust and I believe this God, this is going to bring forth fruit in its season. For some of you, it'll be an immediate fruit. For some of you, it'll take a little time. You'll need more Word and more water put on it. Amen? Renewing your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. Amen? Hallelujah. I just drove myself nuts yesterday. I was looking at some of these scriptures on the computer, and I pulled up this one scripture. But what I had done is I had gone away from the verse that I looked up and gone up one or two verses. And I opened up the concordance. That's not the verse. That's not the verse. You know, something's messed up here. So I went to my tablet and I looked up the verse. And all of a sudden, duh, trying to get the definition for the wrong verse. I had gone up two verses, so the verse that kept coming up was the one that I had highlighted. And so I went up two verses and I got the definition. I could see. So, walk in the flesh, not in the spirit. I mean, walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. Whoa! Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Listen carefully now. But the natural man, or the carnal or sensual man, the fleshly man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Does not, cannot, however you want to look at it. Why? They're foolishness. The things of the Spirit are foolishness to the carnal man. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It doesn't come by your own wisdom or your own understanding. It comes by the wisdom and understanding that comes through God when you seek Him. Amen? Are you with me? Are you understanding? Okay? But he... Listen to this. This is powerful. But he who is spiritual... Not experiential, spiritual. Judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly, listen carefully, that word rightly is there for a reason. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. What am I saying? He who is spiritual is able to judge all things. That doesn't mean cast pass sentence on them. To judge right or wrong, good or evil, righteous or unrighteous. Not a finger pointing. It's simply stating, you want to be a part of this? You don't want to be a part of this. Do you understand? Is that clear? I could see the looks of bewilderment on your face. Kathy is one of them. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying now? But listen, But anyone who's not of the Spirit, he is never himself rightly judged by anyone. Because they're trying to figure it out in the natural, and the natural doesn't connect with the Spirit. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. It's like putting opposites together. When you put two north poles together on a battery, what happens? Or on a magnet? They repel one another. That's what happens. They repel one another. You can't be spiritual and carnal at the same time. And the carnal will never dominate the Spirit unless the Spirit is just completely pushed aside. But the Spirit will and wants to and desires to, because of God working in you and I, to always be the dominant factor, revealing to you the Spirit and the flesh. Remember, the Word of God is a sword. It's the sword of the Spirit, and it deciphers between flesh and spirit, and it discerns between the joints and marrow and the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Are you with me? Did you catch that? Did that make sense? Or are you lost? Yes, ma'am. Well, you can't do that if you're in the Spirit. Simply said, Kathy, we hate the sin, not the sinner. Okay? Does everybody get that? Do you understand that? We hate the sin, not the sinner. Because let's face it, you and I were sinners at one time. Hello. And you know what? God never put any kind of levels on sin. Did he? How many know what I'm talking about? Yes. God's choice is, Bible says very clearly, no homosexual will ever see the kingdom of God. He says, I hate homosexuality. It's that plain in the Word of God. Yes. And sin won't stand in the presence of God. Sin will not stand. That's why God turned his back on Jesus when Jesus took every sin that you and I ever committed, past, present, and future, and took it on himself. It was so ugly and it made him so vile, God, his own Father, couldn't even look at him. Well, yeah. We're talking about the same thing, because Sodom and Gomorrah, do you know what the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was? Homosexuality. Are y'all with me on that? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Isn't that what happened to us? Okay. As long as we're clear on that. Let's go on. Here's verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Which of us is smart enough to instruct God? Think we've got an answer and say, I don't think I agree with that, God. Really? Okay then. You move over there and I'll stay here. And when the lightning hits, I'll be over here and you'll be over there. Or like they say in some of those commercials on TV, I'll just be right here. But we have the mind of Christ. Look at your Bible and read that right there. But we, who's we? You and I. We have the mind of Christ. Why do we have it? Because of the Spirit and the Word of God that's in us. Amen? That's a bold statement. We have the mind of Christ. Are you born again? You have the mind of Christ. Is the Holy Spirit in you? You have the mind of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. But the natural, in verse 14, means sensual. But the sensual man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That word discerned there means examined, inquired into, scrutinized, and questioned. In other words, you go to God looking for some answers. And guess what? You get them. Just a couple more scriptures and we're going to close. I want to turn to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians 2. Are you glad you came today? Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Hallelujah. Have you got any understanding today on some things? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Here's what God says to us. He says, let this mind be in you. How many know that mind is the same as heart, mind, will, and emotions? Which was also in Christ Jesus. How many know we're in the form of God? You know that? We're created in the form of God. Form and likeness. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What's that? I don't know where you got stealing from. Robbery. Robbery. In other words, stealing from. That works. That works. Stealing from God. To be equal with Him. If we're not equal with Him, then how do we sit at the right hand of God with Jesus at the head and us as the body? And we're the bride. I want that to sink in for a minute. We're not equal with Him. How are we seated at the right hand of God with the enemy under our feet? See, we need to understand we are in Christ and Christ is in us. To the point where to people out in the world and to the devil, there's no difference. Even God Himself can see no difference. Because we are, the two have become one. Amen? Like in our marriage vows. The two have become one spirit. The Spirit of God dominating. Woo! Hallelujah! Now that's fresh to me. That just came from the Spirit of God. Fresh to me. Right now. I see it more clearly than I have ever seen it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But listen what He did. Even though He was equal to God, He made Himself of no reputation. I'm Jesus. Don't you know who I am? No. No. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Men created a little lower than the angels, but crowned with glory and honor. Amen. Hallelujah. You begin to see also how God sees you. You're not this old worm that was saved by grace. You're still a sinner. You're just saved by grace. No. You are now, because of the righteousness of God in you, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you? No, because of the work that Jesus did. And because of your becoming one with the anointing. That's why you're anointed. God says, don't play with my anointing. Don't mess with it. Made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And verse 8 says, And he being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. He didn't go around lifting Himself up. He didn't go around preaching about Himself. He didn't go around telling people how great He was or trying to do things in His own power. Remember, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death. Though He slay me, yet will I serve Him. Though God slays me, I will still serve Him. How many know that God's not going to slay anybody? Oh, you didn't answer me on that. One person acknowledged. Do you know that? If God loved you and gave His life for you to give you eternal life, why would He kill you? Who's the one that comes to steal and kill and destroy? Who is? The devil. That's right. Satan. By George, I think they're getting this. But being found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted Him. God has... You know that God has highly exalted you? He's made you an heir and a joint heir. I remember the story of the football player. Brought in. There was no link to that family. They weren't even of the same race. And if they brought him in and they didn't see any color, they just saw a brother and a son. Amen? That's the way God sees us. Hallelujah. That's walking in the Spirit. That's living in the Spirit. Understanding that comes from the Spirit. Amen? Even though we were so ugly as sinners, God loved us even before we knew Him. Hallelujah. Therefore, God, has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. He's talking about Jesus now. And we're at the right hand with Jesus as our head. So it's talking about us. Now, don't react in your flesh. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. Amen? That at the name of Jesus, in verse 10, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, dear God. I just saw something that I never knew before. As His children, as the body in the church of God, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Listen to me now. You're going to have to get this by the Spirit. You're going to miss it if you don't. I'm not saying get the full revelation right now. That'll come in time. But you meditate on this. But you're seated at the right hand of God the Father. And God's given who? Jesus, a name that's above every name. Who are you? The body of who? Of Christ? Listen. Woo! Hallelujah! That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. When you speak into situations and you take the authority of God that He's given you, as an heir and a joint heir, but also as the body of Christ. You see yourself seated there with Him at the right hand? The enemy under your feet? When you speak into situations, they must obey, because it's the same as God Himself speaking it. Jesus is the head. He's the one who gives the impulse to give to the body, to act in that way. You understand? Wow. That's fresh off the press, folks. Fresh off the press. I never saw that in that depth before. Every knee should bow. That He said, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. That means no matter where it is or who it is, they're subject to the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the will of God, because they're subject to Jesus. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. You didn't know you had that much power, did you? You do now, huh? Amen. It means everything. Remember, He says in the Word, all principality and power, all authority has been given to me over all principality and power, all authority in heaven and earth, in heaven and earth. Yes, but He says, but listen now carefully. The Bible says, don't rejoice that you have power over the demons. In other words, don't get all excited about that. Just know that you have it. But rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let me finish up here. Okay. And then what will happen then, because you're operating in that authority and because they see Jesus the way the Father and the devil see you in Jesus, and only see Jesus because you're in Him, they don't see you, He doesn't see you, it's just like Jesus is speaking to Him. And every tongue, that's the qualifier right there, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Real quickly. You don't have to turn there. I'll read them to you. Psalms 37, verses 30 and 31. Man, I'm telling you, I feel the waves of the Spirit rolling over me. I feel the chill running up and down my spine. The chill of the reality, let me put it that way. The chill of the reality of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31. One more and we'll close. Are you happy you came today? Here's what it says. It says, the mouth of righteousness speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God, not the law of man, the law of God, in verse 31, is in his heart. Listen carefully now. Here's the important part. None of his steps shall slide. Wow. 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 And now in closing, last scripture. Wisdom's in your mouth. Do you hear me? How many know I didn't? I'm not the one who authored this. I'm not the one who said this. He said this. Wisdom's in your mouth. And your steps won't slide. Why? Because the wisdom is in your mouth. Because you have the wisdom of God. Because of the Spirit of God. And you're walking in the Spirit, not the flesh or carnality. Amen? Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 11. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, my commandments, and it's not talking about the Ten Commandments. That's already been done away with. Not done away with, but fulfilled in your life. In other words, you've come to a place where those are not issues in your life anymore. Amen? Within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. If you walk in wisdom, you're not going to do what you should do, are you? Is that right? Wait a minute. Nobody's saying anything. Are you not sure? Are you not agreeing? Are you agreeing? What's going on here? Are you wishing, hoping that it's true? It's right there. I didn't write it. So that you incline your ear to wisdom. For people without the Spirit of God, and I'm adding that for effectiveness, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. Wait a minute, I'm not reading the right thing, am I? Excuse me, I apologize. Remember, I got it amplified, and it's right next to the... I'll get on the right page here in just a second. So the ear went to wisdom. And apply your heart to understanding. Apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, you ask the Father for a loaf of bread, is He going to give you a stone? So He's saying here, apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, if it becomes treasure to you, it becomes more important than anything else in your life, your wants, your desires, your likes, your dislikes, if it becomes more important to you than anything else, you seek her as silver, in other words, precious treasure, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. Hear that? He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Preserves yours and my way. Y'all aren't shouting. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you, along with me, are willing to say, I'm ready for something new in my life?
I'm ready to stop spinning my wheels. I'm ready to stop going through the same old things that I've gone through. You want something new flowing through, operating in your life and through your life. You don't want to live by your own understanding or your own feeling, your own sensual nature anymore. Have any of you done that besides me? It doesn't mean you've gone out and blatantly sinned. It just means that God hadn't been first place. Somehow He got lost in the shuffle. And you want it today, like myself. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to know You in a more real way than I've ever known You. I want to walk in that power and authority that You've given me. I want to have that wisdom and understanding that You promised and that You talked about in the Word. And you want to see yourself become more effective in the kingdom of God than you've ever been. How many of you would say this morning, I want that? Amen. Amen. Can I ask you to bow your heads? Can I ask you to close your eyes? Between you and God. Between you and God. I would encourage you to repeat this, but if you don't, you and God can talk about that. But I would encourage you to repeat it. Father, in Jesus' name, I want this to be a new day in my life, in my walk with You. I no longer want to be led by feelings or emotions or my thoughts of what's right and what's wrong, but I want to know by Your understanding that You promised in Your Word that I already possess because You promised it. I want to know that what I do is of You. And I'm going to give You first place. I'm going to listen to Your Spirit. I'm not going to listen to my desires or my understanding any longer. Set me free from my carnal, sinful, sensual nature, Lord. I want to not only have the Spirit, but I want to be filled with the Spirit of God this morning. Holy Spirit, You take control. Reveal to me quickly when I start to take over control again and stop it. Thank You for changing my life. Thank You for hearing this prayer and for setting me free and for causing sensitivity to You, Holy Spirit, in my life. Sensitivity to You, which is sensitivity to God and God's Word and God's will. I thank You and praise You in Jesus' name for this. Amen. Now, Father, again, we are Your people. This is Your time. We thank You for what You've done, what You've brought into this house today, and the insight, the spiritual wisdom. I pray and I believe that every person received it by the Spirit this morning, Lord. And it's going to bring forth great fruit. It's going to bring forth change in our lives. We're not going to be the same person we were when we came in here today. We're going to be different. We're going to be led and ruled by the Spirit of God, not by anything else in us or around us. Only You, Holy Spirit, and Your Word, Father God. Now bless Your people. Go with them. Father, cause increase in their life, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Let the knowledge of God increase, Your knowledge, Lord, increase in their life. I thank You for boldness through understanding, Lord. It's coming on Your people right now, Lord. Everyone who hears this message and everyone who is within the sound of my voice right this moment, Lord. We thank You for a new day. A new day. Thank You, Lord. You said salvation is new every day. And we just got a dose of newness, Lord. Thank You for that. Now, Father, bless Your people. Let Your face shine upon them. Let Your countenance bring peace and Your presence bring peace and understanding and comfort and joy in every heart. seal your word in our hearts, Lord, by the Holy Spirit of promise. In Jesus' name. Now bless our fellowship. Sanctify the food and the fellowship, Lord. Thank you for providing for us, for meeting our needs in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the opportunity to be here today in your presence. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Bless you.